Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining us on the line, Barry Schmeiser. Barry, good morning. How are you? How are you feeling?
Yeah, morning, Howard. I'm feeling absolutely fine. And to maybe paraphrase one of my colleagues, the fact that my team are in the quarterfinal of the FA Cup,
I'm feeling pretty good. Yeah, another one. Now, we've got Louis Campos going on about that in earlier in the sports. You know what? Let's focus on something more pleasant, which is COVID, right?
Hardly.
All right. So, I mean, you're a specialist. You're not a stranger to things medical, to illness. And yet this COVID business really unnerved you. Take us through your experience.
Yeah, in fact, terribly so, Howard. And I just want to say at the outset that the fact that I relate my experience is really motivated only to create awareness amongst others. And, you know, I must say at the outset that I have gotten off very lightly. And I really, you know, thank God that is what has happened to me, because when I look around, I think there are not many people around who don't know somebody, be it a friend, a relative, who has succumbed to this awful virus. So, you know, I really, my message is that people must remain vigilant and be aware. In a nutshell, came December of last year, and, you know, we were aware of the fact that the numbers were ramping up, particularly in the Eastern Cape, the Western Cape. And I was not at all keen to travel. Having said this, the lure of meeting my granddaughter, my first grandchild, who was then 3 months old, having come out from the USA, was too strong to stay at home, and we did elect to travel. And we traveled by air, and that was the first problem. I'm not sure where I contracted this virus, because when it comes to being vigilant and obsessive, I don't know that there have been many more so than I, so it's quite ironic and in many respects almost egg on my face with respect to this. It's possible that I contracted it on the airline, although the time span was towards the possible end of an incubation period. But what really fazed me, the airline will remain unnamed, but what fazed me was arriving at the airport, absolutely no social distancing with respect to the check-in line, no social distancing with respect to the boarding line on the airplane. And worst of all, on getting onto the plane, seeing people getting on with their masks around their chins. Wow. I had to draw the attention of the cabin crew to make some sort of announcement. And then even worse, about 20 minutes into the flight, the fact that food could be purchased on the airplane, people were taking their masks off to fill their faces, you know, heaven forbid a 2-hour plane journey.
I thought that there was no food on
these
flights.
Well, I think this subsequently has been changed. And in fact, on my arrival in Cape Town, I actually challenged the airline on their website in terms of feeling quite unsafe on their flight. And I really received a generic, unsatisfactory response. But be that as it may. Then the symptoms started, and they were really vague. One night, just feeling a little bit cold, not really thinking much about it. A couple of days later, I'm walking up some very steep stairs, thinking that I was slightly breathless, yet the next day I could walk 10 kilometers. And then started the sort of more pronounced symptoms, by which time we had actually traveled to Plettenberg Bay. As a family, we had rented a large sort of farmhouse in the Crags, which was a standalone place. And kind of on arriving there, starting to get symptoms of body aches, severe fatigue. So I went for a test in Plett, which was easier said than done, because they were shooing people away, telling them to go to Knysna and to George because they were a bit overwhelmed. And I must say, I pulled rank by virtue of being a doctor and, you know, pleading my case with one of the nurses there. And what will always ring in my ears was the fact that she said to me they'd seen so many positive cases that it was just a matter of time before everybody got it, which, you know, is quite a frightening prospect.
Very.
anyway, the test was done, and I was told it could take 48 hours to get a result. So I isolated myself completely in this large house which we had rented. It was I was able to do that. But over the weekend, my symptoms deteriorated, and in fact, my sons took charge and were really amazing. They co-opted a shuttle driver to take myself and my wife back to Cape Town. And important to mention, we were completely transparent. We said to this driver that there's a possibility, because I didn't have the result yet, that I would be positive. We kitted him out in a suit, in a N95 mask, a visor. We drove with windows open, and I have to say it was not a very pleasant journey. We also arranged accommodation in Cape Town, having told the owner of an Airbnb that I might be positive. They were agreeable to our renting their house, with a sort of caveat that if that was the case, we would have to pay extra to get the house fogged afterwards, yeah, which was fine. And, you know, halfway along that journey, I got the result that I was positive. Now, it's a bizarre comment, but it was almost a feeling of relief because I was feeling so poorly, I could not attribute
it. It's so interesting. I've heard this comment reflected so many times that people are actually relieved when they eventually get that result.
Yeah. In retrospect, I think it's probably an inappropriate comment. Rather, you have something else than this virus. Anyway, from a symptomatic point of view, sore throat, difficult to talk, tremendous night sweats, body aches, loss of appetite. And the other thing I want to mention is on receiving this, we contacted Hatsola, and I cannot speak highly enough of this organization. They were absolutely unbelievable. So I had a thermometer and oximeter delivered to me, and that oximeter virtually became my lifeline because I was kind of riveted to it in terms of seeing that my oxygenation was in order, which fortunately it was. But the thought, especially lying awake at night, the thought of maybe the inside of an ambulance, an intensive care unit, a ventilator, and ultimately even death from this thing, these were awful things to contemplate. And of course, when you're involved in the field, you kind of defer to the worst-case scenarios always.
Right, it's an occupational hazard.
You know, at the end of the day, the outcome was a happy one. Hatsola, and particularly an angelic woman called Robin, remained in touch with me regularly. I didn't need hospitalization. The house that we rented was such that we could, my wife and I could kind of be apart. And she was my Florence Nightingale, I have to say, looked after me unbelievably. And, you know, I came through it. And I reiterate, compared to others, I've gotten off very lightly, but it was a frightening experience.
Would you say that the trauma was more emotional, psychological than it was physical?
In my case, yes.
Because I guess because we all know stories and we all have heard of people, unfortunately, who haven't made it or who have landed up in hospital and in intensive care. It must be very, very difficult to and require immense mental strength to not lose yourself to despair during that time.
Very much so. And I think that, you know, one of the elements in terms of fallout of this condition, I would imagine my psychiatry colleagues maybe would liken it to a type of post-traumatic stress disorder, because it's left many people, you know, in ravages mentally, either because of their own experience or because of the loss of loved ones or close ones.
And in terms of your recovery?
I have to say I'm thankfully feeling fighting fit again.
Right. So you don't have the long, what they're calling long COVID symptoms?
Not that I can notice. Maybe a bit of fatigue, but I think that's probably stemmed by the fact that, you know, my team occasionally are faltering a little bit, so that it might be coming from that.
Oh, it's funny how we keep coming back to that. What's your advice, not to your team and not to Liverpool supporters, but what is your advice to others who maybe haven't, thankfully, been on this journey that you've been on?
Right. So What I'd like to say, and in fact it's probably a contentious comment, but I am incensed by the fact that there were many people round about that time who had either tested positive or who had symptoms and got onto aeroplanes to fly home because it was an inconvenience to them to get home in any other way, or their kids were sick and they told them to get onto aeroplanes. I cannot stress enough. I think that is absolutely criminal. And this has without a doubt resulted in loss of life of certain people. And I think, no question about it, came December, people dropped their guard. You know, it was almost, you know, we've had to deal with this for about 8 months by then. We've had enough. Let's get out there. And one has got to remain vigilant. The second wave, certainly the bug has been far more contagious. This variant has been far more contagious than the first. And I think, you know, the old adages of hand sanitization, social distancing, and masks. And I appeal to people to remember that one's nostrils are not situated below one's chin. Masks must be worn properly over the nose, covering the mouth, and they don't need to be removed when talking on a cell phone. On my limited visits to shopping centres, I see people walking around without masks. I think this is absolutely unacceptable. And, you know, one needs to adhere to these principles. Ultimately, we all need to be vaccinated. Until that is done, we need to practice this, and, you know, we'll probably need to do so thereafter.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Just going back to what you were saying before about being incensed with people getting onto planes, we certainly saw that around Rage as well. We saw good examples as well. We saw people driving down to Natal if their kids were ill and bringing them back themselves. We see all sorts of behavior. How do you think as a society we should be dealing with that? Should we be naming and shaming? Should we how do you think we should be dealing with this?
Yeah, it's a difficult one to answer, and however one answers this, it'll be controversial. But as you say, this has brought out the best and the worst in people. There's a tremendous element in terms of human nature of selfishness among so many, and, you know, it's unacceptable. How do you name and shame unless you've got ample evidence thereof? And I think, you know, one has to appeal to the good side of people, you know. Gather around, help those around you, and, you know, don't be naughty about this because, you know, your inconsiderate attitude can cost the life of somebody else.
Absolutely right. Bendita says, Barry Schmeiser is my hero. He saved me from toxic shock, which leads to death after back surgery. He's an angel of God, and I can only wish him a full and complete mental and physical recovery. Javi says, hi, Howard. The same thing happened with my niece. She left for Israel, had been so careful, good and careful, between the airport and Israel. She picked up COVID, and it was only picked up after 10 days. Stay in isolation. Thank God she is also fine. So there's no doubt that there's the added risk of travel, even though we're told that planes in of themselves are safe. But it's all about, I guess, monitoring human behavior and making sure that the airports are compliant.
And transparency. You know, if you think you're ill, go and get tested. If you are tested positive, stay away from people. These are basic principles
that
people should adhere to.
Absolutely right. Barry Schmeiser, thank you for taking the time to speak to us, and thank you for taking us through your journey. The fact is that the majority of people have a journey that is more or less like your own, which makes it much more relatable. You know, we sometimes disassociate from the ICU visits because we don't think it's going to happen to us. What your story tells us is that it really can, anything can happen, no matter how careful you are. It's that one slip up, or it's that one incident, and just be careful, be responsible, and vigilant.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, those that turn around and say, oh, well, it's just flu, I wouldn't be happy to accept that.
Absolutely right. That's where we leave it.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.